In order to make what I have just said more comprehensible and concrete, let us compare human life in general to a large river that rises from various sources and flows on the surface of our planet, and the life of any particular man to one of the drops of water composing this river of life. The river at first flows as a whole along a comparatively level valley, and then at the place where nature has undergone what is called a cataclysm not according to law, it divides into two separate streams, or, as is also said, there occurs a dividing of the waters. All of the water of one stream, soon after passing this place, flows into a still more level valley, and without any majestic or picturesque scenery to hinder it, ultimately flows into the vast ocean. The second stream continues to flow through obstacles formed by the cataclysm not according to law, just mentioned, and ultimately falls into crevices, which are themselves consequences of the same cataclysm, and seeps into the very depths of the earth. Although after the dividing of the waters, these two streams flow independently and no longer mingle, at certain moments they approach so near each other that all the results engendered from the process of their flowing blend. And even at times during great atmospheric phenomena, such as winds, storms, and so on, splashes of water, or even single drops, pass from one stream into the other. Taken individually, the life of every man until reaching responsible age corresponds to a drop of water in the initial current of the river. And the place where the dividing of the waters occurs corresponds to the time when he attains adulthood. Before this division, every movement of the waters for fulfilling the predetermined destination of the entire river, according to law, applies as a whole, as well as in its smallest details, to each separate drop equally, but only inasmuch as the given drop is contained in the general flow of the whole river. For the drop itself, all its own displacements, all the directions it takes, and all the states caused by its changes of position, by various accidental surrounding conditions, and by the speeding up or slowing down of the tempo of its movement, are always entirely a matter of chance. For the drops, there is no predetermination of their personal fate. A predetermined fate is for the whole river only. At the beginning of the flow of the river of life, the drops are here one moment, there the next, and a moment later they may not exist at all as such, having splashed out of the river and evaporated. And so, when on account of the unbecoming life of men, great nature was constrained to bring about a corresponding degeneration in their common presence, it was established for the purposes of the common actualizing of everything existing, that the whole of human life on earth would be divided into two streams. And great nature foresaw and gradually fixed in the details of her common actualization a certain law-conforming process, whereby in the drops of water of the initial flow of the river of life, during what are called inner subjective struggles against one's own denying principle, there might arise or not arise that something, thanks to which certain properties are acquired that give the possibility, at the place of the dividing of the waters, of entering one stream or the other. This something, which in the presence of each drop of water serves to actualize the property corresponding to one or the other of the streams, represents in the common presence of each man who attains responsible age, that I, which was referred to in today's lecture. A man who has his own eye enters one of the streams of the river of life, and the man who has not enters the other. The subsequent fate of each drop in the river of life is determined at the dividing of the waters according to the stream it enters. And this is because, as I have already said, the first of these two streams ultimately empties into the ocean, that is, into that sphere of nature which has frequent reciprocal exchanges of substances with various great cosmic concentrations through the process of what is called Pokdalisjanka, one aspect of which, by the way, contemporary people call cyclones. And thereby the drop of water has the possibility of evolving as it is to the next higher concentration. And as for the other stream, which at the end of its course flows into the crevices of the Earth's nether region, where it participates in what is called involutionary creation, proceeding continuously within the planet, it is transformed into vapor and distributed to corresponding spheres to serve for new arisings. After the dividing of the waters, great and small successive processes that assure the fulfillment of the predetermined destination of each stream, even in the details of their outer movement, also ensue from these same cosmic laws. However, the results ensuing from them are, so to say, subjectivized correspondingly in the two streams. And although they function independently, they mutually assist and sustain each other all the time. These subjectivized second-order results, issuing from fundamental cosmic laws, sometimes function side by side, sometimes collide or cross, but never blend. And the action of these subjectivized second-order results can sometimes, in certain surrounding conditions, also extend to the separate drops.